The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Mind.
What happened there?
Whoa! I don't know. Let's go, North State! Brickabacker, Sissoon Bar. North State, rah, rah, rah.
Oh, it looks Shasta County, rah, rah, rah.
I know, that was pretty lame, but, you know, I got tongue-tied in the middle of it.
I'm going to leave it alone.
Today is Sunday, once again, January 29th, 2023, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, the home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State.
Free Fire Radio.
Yeah. That's starting to sound like Biden.
Free Fire Radio.
No.
You know that other thing?
You know
what I mean?
That's right, Jack.
All you gotta do is plug in the child scented air freshener and you'll attract him.
Come back to the microphone. Come back, Mark. Come back.
Come back to the light, Caroline.
Biden gives scratch and sniff a whole new meaning.
Whoa.
Where'd that one come from?
Man, with how windy it is today, I'm just kind of hoping Nancy Pelosi jumps on her broom.
Don't be picking on the witches
so much.
What
a world, I'm no longer the Speaker of the House.
Did you guys hear that that police audio that came out from the Pelosi's?
Oh,
the what?
The hammer, putting the hammer down?
Yeah.
I saw it. You know what's interesting? I was looking at it this morning.
He's got a drink in his hand?
No, not that. That's not what's interesting. What's interesting is when you first look at it, it looks like the door opens by itself. They said, well, the Pelosi opened. No, he had a drink in his hand. He didn't know. How'd he open? Now if you look in the blinds on the left side, no, I'm not a conspiratorial kind of guy, although maybe I am, but there's somebody behind the blinds on the left side of the door, and it's pretty plain as day if you really look. And
it was Nancy.
No,
you go, and then begs the question, doesn't it?
Here's the thing.
Who the hell was that?
Here's the thing. It is obvious, okay? Nancy had an exorcism after she ended up having this event took place. It was clearly the ghost.
Not according to the archbishop, because I think the exorcism already occurred quite.
Yes, but the thing about it is,
yeah, you could turn mine down.
It wasn't
too.
The archbishop. It may have been the Church of Satan, but.
Probably
not the Archbishop.
Maybe that's the Grand Poobah.
Hey, what's going on here?
The head wizard. What do they call the guy who's the head of the Church of Satan?
Grand Wizard, I think.
Grand Wizard.
The devil?
Right.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Nancy?
Oh, boy. All right.
That's just the big guy.
So, okay, let's start over again here. All right, let's start over again. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. Good morning. My name is Mark Kitt, and I'm your host. And I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda. By the way, she's my sister, in case any of the other people are listening.
Did they get that wrong again?
They always get it wrong. Yes, Donnie, we're brother and sister.
There you go. My sister, who does all the heavy lifting.
She's my sister.
Igor.
and I have to say it. And she has no brains.
Okay.
She's got a knife.
Sorry.
Yep.
It was so easy.
But you got the abnormal brain you picked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
That's so where does that leave you?
Oh. Shut up. So, okay. So
good morning, everybody.
It's January 29th, and my sister's mic has just been cut.
That's funny. I have the controls.
Oh, there you go. Oh, we also have, well, we should get to somebody else here because.
Yeah, we've got a few people.
There's a couple other people in the studio here that might actually want to be introduced if you just stop.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, it was all me.
The kid that rocks. The kid that rocks around the clock. Faster than a speeding internet connection. More powerful than a high-speed download. A 10th degree black belt on ramps. I'm Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
After that. I feel like that. I feel like Liz Carter. Yeah. Way in. Well, and then it's true. In the other corner, we've got stones. Hands of stones.
Stones
of something.
Stones. Hands of stones doesn't really sound right.
I'm on my second energy drink. Can you tell?
He's not. It's not Roberto Duran. Okay, it's Rich Gallardo in the other corner, weighing in. Yeah, that is true.
His
shirt says the media is a virus. You know, present company excluded. But
we're not the media. We're
the alternative media.
Yes.
Yeah, we're the
alt. I wasn't quite sure where he was going, how he picked up his shirt.
We're the alt-right. As opposed to the dumbass, left.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's sort of building up to be a great show today. I might even get off on a rant if I'm pushed.
Oh, really?
So, good morning, everybody. Rich, what do you got for us today? Where are we going with all this?
Good morning, Liam.
Oh, yeah, we got Liam in the other room, too, but I can't see him because I have this reflection on the mirror.
I know. So, in keeping with your standard schedule, did you guys want to do any announcements prior to?
Oh, I do have announcements.
Thank you for being in charge of
that. Yeah, the guest is in charge.
Right.
The guest knows more than we do.
So, coming up on March 4th, we have a fundraiser for Our Heroes Dreams, restoring hopes and dreams for our heroes and saving lives. This has to do with the veterans, law enforcement officers, and first responders. And it's, again, on March 4th. We will be doing this at the Veterans Hall here in Reading on Yuba Street. It is, 1605, but don't quote me. 1605 Yuba Street. Doors open at 6, dinner at 7. Tickets are $45 each, a table of 8 for $315. I know you can get some of the tickets at Jones Fort. I was looking for a phone number. You can call Cody at 530-604-7020 if you're interested.
There you have it.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
So what do we got here?
So I do have a couple more announcements.
Oh,
first off,
Walk of Life.
Walk of Life, that was yesterday, and I wanted to thank everybody for coming out to that. We had a great showing. We also had Chris Kellstrom, who ended up coming out. That was awesome to see some of the people from our government get
involved. Chris is going to be here today, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, good.
And so I wanted to thank everybody for that. And we also have another event that is coming up. We have a bunch of the Walgreens and a bunch of the people that are at a lot of the pharmacies that are starting to push the abortion pill at all of their stores. So there is another event that's going to be taking place that is at the Walgreens on 980 East Cypress, Reading. And that is going to be taking place on February 4th at 11 a.m. to 12.
Just out of curiosity... Who makes the abortion pill?
Probably Pfizer.
Just thinking in passing. Go ahead, finish. Yeah.
And last but not least, there is another event that's taking place on Monday, March 6th, which is the March for Life in Sacramento. There is a bus that is going to be leaving from Red Bluff that has room for 49 people on it, and it is going to be... Let's see, bus ride with Mount Lassen Motor Transit and, sorry, I'm looking for where the actual area is. Give me a second to find that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'll come back to it.
By the way, the abortion pill is, I think, actually manufactured by Milfprex.
I hear a joke in there somewhere.
Probably a subsidiary of
Pfizer. Or, yeah.
Well, MilfPrax.
Yes. Yeah. There's a joke in there. Anyways.
So anyway. Did you find it?
I'm not sure I have it on here, but if you're interested in one of those 49 seats, you have a phone number here you can call of 530-209-7791 or jnelson1960@gmail.com, and there is 49 seats. Price is approximately $30. And it was pretty funny because the Women's March also did their event yesterday. They had like 3 people that showed up, but they went ahead and said that more people were attending online. But we had quite a few people show up to the event, so it's good. We're seeing waves that are turning.
Nice, nice. And I do have a correction. The name of the drug is Melfprazone. So I guess Melfprex is the name of the drug, and I'm kind of running it down just for fun to see who actually makes it. I'll get there. And it's listed by the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines.
Must be good.
So that ought to tell you something right there. But let's go on, and I'll inject this later in the conversation, so to speak.
All right. Hello again, folks. So I wanted to cover 3 different topics today that are current. And so first is our Second Amendment resolution that's coming soon to the board. The second one is going to be the county board of supervisors removing Dominion contract. And then the third one is I've got some stuff to say on the Gateway School District issues.
We want to catch up with that. Where do you want to start with first?
Let's start with the Second Amendment resolution. Right. So I'm in the local chapter of California Rifle Pistol. We've been working for well over 2 years now since, the Modi era, Leonard Modi era, to try to get a local Second Amendment resolution. We are not using the word sanctuary, and that is intentional, okay?
Okay.
Sanctuary means 100% full protection, 100% full protection, okay? We're not going to get that with this resolution.
So what are we getting?
And we'll get there. So February 21st, 5:30 p.m., Shasta County Board of Supervisors evening meeting. That is when this...
What time?
5:30 p.m.
Thank you.
That is when this resolution is going to be on the agenda for the public discussion, possible amendments, I say possible, and a vote by the Board of Supervisors. Rifle Pistol Association headquartered in Fullerton, they will have a representative up here to, we will be doing a presentation, of course, prior to or after public comment, either way, before the vote. So a gentleman named Kevin Smalls will be coming up from Fullerton. The resolution is signed by the I don't know his title, Chuck Mitchell. He's the head lawyer for Rifle Pistol, statewide. He's the head dude. We have an endorsement letter from him on the exact resolution that we have written and, already submitted to the County Board of Supervisors. So this attorney is, probably top 2 Second Amendment attorneys in this state and probably nationwide. I dare say top 5. Pro Second Amendment attorneys in the country. And this gentleman has, with his signature and his reputation, has signed and endorsed this resolution. That is extremely powerful, by the way.
Very good.
I was going to say something smart, like, did you Google him?
So, and the interesting thing is we have, this has been a fight in 2019. The Second Amendment resolution wave started in, I believe, Virginia, roughly. I want to say it was Virginia. It was 2018 Virginia when they had a turnover of their state legislature. And then, that state legislature started passing a bunch of anti-Second Amendment laws. So in 2019, I'm not sure where the movement started in that year, but in Virginia somewhere, a bunch of counties started putting together these Second Amendment resolutions. And they started passing, and that wave started coming westbound towards California. And that was, I believe that was actually the same year that Rifle Pistol Association, these chapters we have, they're brand new. 2019, I believe, was the first year they had chapters for Rifle Pistol out of Fullerton. Mm. So what a coincidence that all that's happening in the same year. That wave's coming westbound, and Rifle Pistol says, hey, we want chapters. And right now I think there's about 23 chapters roughly out of the 58 counties, so we're doing really well. So our chapter formed, and at the time I thought, you know what, remember, this is pre-COVID and all that BS, but so I thought, you know, let's get on board with this. I see this wave coming, let's get the surfboard, let's jump on the wave, right? So we developed our own resolution under the old Modi regime, and of course trust me, we knew it was not going to pass. Trust me, but right, it's a political statement. And in fact, our old resolution never got heard under the Modi regime. It never made it to the agenda. So that's fine. So then, the COVID happens and this and that. Government comes to all but a standstill unless they're, directing in their tyrannical way how to get a jab and go to work in a mask, right? Other than that, government almost, you get what I'm saying? Almost came to a standstill. So our resolution was kind of on the back burner for a couple of years. And we absolutely said, yeah, it'll come back. Trust me, this resolution mm-hmm. will come back. And then the recall happened, right? And we're like, okay, this is where it goes. So here we are. Here we are. We now have true conservative control of our county board, not the fake conservatives that were on there before. Chair Jones says, "Yep, we're going to hear it. We're going to agendize it. We're going to discuss it, and we're going to pass something."
I think awesome. I think that we're starting to move in the right direction, and we're seeing more and more of that. And we're getting national headlines at Shasta County because of the Board of Supervisors, Dominion, and so forth. Which tells me that we have a lot more support across the nation than we're being led to believe. Because I think they're starting to see for the first time something actually happening, and I think that it's kind of like when you introduce a new product out there and to sell it to people. There's always a few people that buy it right off, and then there's the people that kind of wait to see where it's going. And then once they see how good the product is, then you'll see a majority of people starting to go ahead and buy it. And I think we're starting to get into that third phase where people are going, I'm seeing what they're doing. I'm seeing what's happening. I can see how it can be implemented in our community. And we can see that it actually works. And I think and you got to start somewhere with all this stuff. You got to start somewhere. You got to find that spark that's going to, kick off the, revolution to be paraphrasing and not specifically asking for a revolution, even though the shot that was heard around the world could be the Dominion voting machines.
Well, I think it gives people hope to see that there's you can elect people in boards that actually listen to the people of their community, which hasn't happened for a long time. And now we've got Board of Supervisors up there that are actually listening to the people and what they're wanting and their needs be.
Well, I think Patrick Jones said it really well on this Dominion machine, and we'll get to there, I guess.
But we will.
Basically, that it's like poker. You don't have to cheat every hand in order to be a cheater. And so we're starting to see that we're getting some traction on all these issues because.
Yep.
They weren't able to circumvent the actual election selection process with a true vote, a fair vote, even though I think it was tried.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to button up this 2A thing, and then of course we're going to talk about the Dominion thing. So, a couple key points on this resolution. Under the old regime, when Les Baugh was chair, and Ruben Cruz, who still is county council, but he's on his way out. Don't let the door hit you, Ruben, on the way out, by the way. So, we had presented it to the county at that time, and Les Baugh and Ruben Cruz, they did some amendments to this resolution. And of course, they took out, and I'm going to read in a minute, the teeth. There is teeth in this resolution, and trust me, this is going to be a good thing. So they amended it, took the teeth out.
You're going to put the teeth back in.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Go ahead.
So they took the teeth out, watered it down, and then put in legal precedent in a couple of the whereases. Legal precedent. Mm-hmm. Follow legal precedent. Well, why do you think we are where we're at with the Second Amendment? It's because too many judges in black robes think they're smarter than the founding fathers, right?
Well, they only follow legal precedent when it suits
correct.
Their purpose.
Correct. So, Rifle Pistol, including our chapter, we had a conference call a couple weeks ago. So, do we want to include this amended version, or do we want to only present the one that Chuck Mitchell endorsed? And we made a decision. Said, no, we're going to reject the amended version out of hand, and we're only going to present this one. So, this is the one that's...
What's going to be the end result of being declared... this declaration of Second Amendment rights.
Here's the teeth. And when I wrote this, I authored this, but I also based it on dozens and dozens of other Second Amendment resolutions throughout the country. And if people go to sanctuarycounties.com, sanctuarycounties.com. Somewhere across the top, there's a link to national maps, and you will actually see there are, I want to say, 1,600 counties that have some form of Second Amendment resolution on the books.
I think it's actually more than that.
But now, it's a lot. There's 3,300 counties in this country, so it's half or a little more than half. But the beautiful thing is, it's more than half, I think. So here's my point. The other resolutions I read, which were many, 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 I saw little to no teeth, okay? And a resolution is a political statement. That's all it is, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not going to write a resolution in Shasta County with no teeth. That is honestly useless. So here's the teeth. Be it further resolved, Shasta County shall, with minimal delay, draft or amend county policies, procedures, and ordinances, or take other actions necessary to enforce this resolution. And, of course, it's a Second Amendment resolution. So another podcast I saw spilled the bean can. So I will say one thing. And I believe this will pass as written. So I'm basing this on the assumption this resolution will pass as written. There is plans in the works, and I have several plans beyond this resolution. The first one that's now up for public consumption is we are going to try, we being the Patriots and and at the county level, we're going to try to see if we can get county employees who have concealed weapons permits to be able to carry while at work. Is that not beautiful or what?
I agree.
and so that's going to be a hurdle, but beyond, and I won't discuss beyond that, but I have other plans to expand Second Amendment rights in this county. So that's where the teeth is. So that particular resolve is extremely important. That's the teeth.
Just to give you the update, I'm looking at the website, sanctuarycounties.com, and it's 1,965 counties nationwide. You know, and the number represents 62.5% of the American counties.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're starting to line up with reality by showing a map like this is that, and this is an ongoing thing that's, it keeps adding to it. And we even have a couple in California, believe it or not, already.
So Siskiyou County did a resolution in 2013 or so. I read it. It's very short. It's like four or five paragraphs. And unfortunately there was no teeth in it. It, you know, and great for them for passing the resolution,
sure.
But it, again, there was no teeth in it, so it went nowhere. And not necessarily that they need the teeth up there, you know, probably their sheriff's a good guy and probably doesn't hassle law-abiding citizens regarding firearms.
Who's going to be the next sheriff? You know, I mean, that's
exactly
the problem. You got to put laws on the books that hold the elected
correct
officials accountable, not having the elected officials decide what is accountable or not.
Yeah, and the only other Second Amendment similar resolution was the city of Needles. I forgot which year. I don't know, 5-6 years ago, they passed a resolution to because they're near the border. You know, the way out in the desert, and
right.
they didn't want to follow the new ammunition rules about you can't bring ammunition from another state over the line, right? That is in state law, and so they passed some. And I have it on my computer.
I think that's a key thing. What you're saying right there is because what people are discovering more and more, whether it's the voting machines, whether it's the second day counties, is that the counties have the power to give the fickle finger of fate, if you will, typically the middle fickle finger of fate, to the federal government if it's not, or the state government, if it's not following the intent and the specifics of the constitutional law in our rights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's going to be a big day on February 21st at 5:30 p.m. Rifle Pistol in Fullerton. I'm doing the local media releases, and I think I've sent it to all you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Rifle Pistol out of Fullerton, they're going to do the statewide media and the nationwide media releases. And this very resolution, by the way, once whatever version it passes in, this resolution is going to go to other counties. Rifle Pistol, it's a statewide entity. It's a statewide nonprofit association. So they're going to make – they love this again. Chuck Mitchell endorsed it. So this is going to start spreading throughout the rest of our counties here very quickly. So this is going to be big, big news. And again, the teeth is what's important here.
Mm-hmm.
And once we go to the next step regarding the county employees, that's going to be huge. So I'm really looking forward to that. This is 2.5+ years in the making. And none of this would have happened without the recall.
Well, and that's where you, that's why I always say you got to start someplace. You got to start something that's going to get some traction somewhere. The recall is what got us traction because it was in the community. We were out knocking on doors. People were becoming aware, and a lot of those people had known for a long time that there was corruption in the county. There was a problem in the county. There, you know, our rights were being circumvented, but they didn't have a vehicle or anything to do anything about it with, and that was basically the kickoff.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but a lot of the people in the community, it caused them to get involved.
Right.
No matter which side of the aisle you're on with that, it caused a lot of people that were just sitting at home or didn't know, like you say, where to begin or what to do or what. It got them out and amongst the people and making relationships.
Well, that's what's so crazy, though, is the left is always siding with the left regardless of the consequences. They don't look at things as to that their rights are going to get circumvented just like everybody else's at some point. They might be on the winning side at this point, but what happens when, you know, these guys get total control? They don't give a rat's behind about what, you know, your rights are. And you see that more and more and more. I mean, you could look to Tennessee right now and the cops that beat the crap out of that guy and killed him. You know, I mean, if you don't have any rights at all, if you don't stand up for them, if you don't make sure that you have them, like the Second Amendment rights, it will be assumed that you do not.
Yeah, if you don't know your rights, then how can you fight for them?
Exactly.
Right? So one last point on the Second Amendment. So, and I'm going to give a shout out again to California Rifle Pistols. So, in Scott Valley Unified School District in Siskiyou County, around November, I believe, maybe 2 to 3 months ago, that school board, Scott Valley, passed a policy where they're going the state legislature will probably close this loophole, but right now it exists. They're using one loophole in the Gun-Free School Zone Act to allow guns in locked containers on school properties. So that school district passed that resolution, and their intent is to allow teachers, they're developing the processes right now. Right, like how much training do they need?
Right,
what kind of lock
the
container?
The guidelines that go with
that. The guidelines.
That.
So they're developing those now, and I have a contact in Rifle Pistol. I said as soon as they print those, I need those because we want this to spread statewide. So that's already passed in Scott Valley. So once they get the procedures put in place, then boom, they do it, and now there's going to be some locked guns in locked cases. Who knows where to defend the kids? It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And at the appropriate time, right after this resolution is passed, by the way, at the county level, I'm going to be sending this very same Scott Valley template out to every school board district in Shasta County and say, look, you don't even have to be afraid to be the first one to do this in California. Scott Valley
did it.
It's
already done it.
It's already done. You have a template now. So this is going to be a good thing.
Do you know what's crazy? And then let's move on to, because we're going to run out of time here. Yeah. What's crazy about the whole Second Amendment thing is if you look at all the shootings that have occurred, the only ones that have the guns are the guys doing the shootings, unless somebody in the crowd has a permit or carries conceal, and they have stopped the shootings, more than once. Mm-hmm. So how does anybody reconcile that? Let's confiscate everybody's guns, because if you look at California, all those people didn't have guns because they've pretty much gotten away with, done away with the Second Amendment, especially in Southern California. Yeah. You can't get a permit, you can't get anything. And where's all the shootings at?
Right.
It's just 80. Yeah, the stat, and I just read it last week, 86% of mass shootings are in, quote, gun-free zones.
Right.
Whether it be a mall, a school, it doesn't matter. It's a gun-free zone.
Soft target.
There has to be a hidden agenda, and we know what that is. So let's move on. What's the next topic?
So Dominion. So County Board of Supervisors voted to cancel Dominion contract as soon as the city of Shasta Lake
Special
80,000 dollar election. We can thank Kathy Darling Allen and the mistakes in her office for that. Yeah. So once that's over, then that Dominion contract, it's been voted 3-2. It's gone.
What's going to happen is the word is that it's going to actually save us money, even if we, the contract cost us money. There's money that's going to start being saved in the county anyway. You know, our supervisors that are good guys that have been elected to, represent the people are going to get attacked, and they're being attacked by the powers that be right off the bat. But the real deal is, I think once you right the ship, you're going to save a lot more money anyway. And I think you will save money if you go back to hand counting and get rid of all of these things. I mean,
only thing I can say to that is, how do you put a price tag on my freedom of voting?
Public
or the validity of your vote, the security of your vote.
Yes, I mean, how do you put a price tag on that? Well, I'm sorry, there is no price tag.
You know, and I want to make a list here. I got a partial list going here, and we can add to it. You know, since the Democrats or the liberals or the whatever you want to go with have passed these new rules, laws, you know, taken and usurped voting laws, you know, from the COVID environment, you know, from whatever. You know, I was listening to Bill Whittle the other day, and I mean, he goes, you know, he says basically this. Can you think of one thing that they have passed that got us away from, you know, hand counting and at this precinct level and, you know, certifying chain of custody? Can you think of one law that has been passed that stops fraud or electioneering or promotes not cheating?
No, in fact, you know, I have a lot of research into our election laws here in California. And so does a couple other folks, and I'm going to mention a group that's meeting here in a minute. But the laws, they say they pass a law in California. They say it's for to allow more free and fair elections. All right, well, let's stop using the word free. Let's stop using that. But they use that as a justification to pass a law when the law actually relaxes the security of the election systems and processes, which then assists more fraud. That's the reality when you read the laws. You can see it doesn't make anything more free or fair. In fact, it just encourages it literally legalizes fraud, such as ballot harvesting.
Yeah. I mean, here's my partial list, and I keep thinking of more. Okay, ballot harvesting. The ballot boxes, can you say 2,000 mules?
Yep.
How about absentee ballots? I mean, we want absentee ballots for guys who can't vote, but now we've got guys that are voting, you know, what is it, 90%, 80%, whatever the number is, now all are sending their mail-in ballots in.
Right.
Machines, Dominion, you know all the trouble with those. How about voter ID? You know, there should be ID for everybody, and we use that as, oh, it's racist if you don't get ID. So in other words, everybody's stupid out there, that is of an off color because it's not white. I guess it'd be the way to put it, because they don't have to have ID to drive, go to the airport,
bank,
you know, they're too
everything.
Yeah. Everything. You need ID for everything. Everything. Yeah.
How about one day vote? How about it used to be everybody went in on that day, we designated voting day as vote day, and everybody went in and voted, and it was tabulated by that evening, and you knew who won the election.
Yeah.
At each precinct.
Yeah.
At each location.
Now we're going into the point where we're having election season.
Pretty much.
You know, you got 30 days before you vote, you got 30 days after you vote, and all of these things culminate in one thing, the ability to cheat better.
Of course. So I'm part of a group. We had our fourth meeting yesterday. So we've been meeting now for 4 months. And I'm part of, there's about 8 or 9 of us in this group. And we are developing what's going to be probably by early summer, maybe May, June. We're going to develop a proposal to send to the County Board of Supervisors. And our intent is to take 100% control of our countywide elections. Countywide elections. That would be the cities, the districts, and all that. And what we have to do is, there's a few key points here. There's federal laws regarding elections. By the way, they're all unconstitutional. Not a lick of federal law should be regarding voting. You guys need to...
We need to take a break. But let's finish.
Let's go to the break.
You want to go to the break? All right. Well, go ahead and go to the break, and we'll pick it up on the other side, and we'll bring in our other guests to weigh in on all this.
Very good.
All right.
They're tearing it down now, but it's just as well. I haven't shown you everything a man can do. So stay with me, baby. I got plans for you. This is the time to remember, 'cause it will not last forever.
salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, open 2:30 to 6 p.m. at 2051 Hilltop, Suite A3, offers a unique halotherapy experience to immerse yourself in salt. It can help with stress, anxiety, athletic performance, respiratory issues, snoring, long-haul COVID, help restore taste and smell. Capturing the Essence Salt Cave offers take-home salt packs for bloating, inflammation, and anxiety, salt lamps with color therapy, and gift certificates. Book now, 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Grab your girlfriends and your coworkers and join Shasta Regional Medical Center for the Go Ready Luncheon 2023. Friday, February 10th, this year's lineup of speakers are dynamic and inspirational. Grab a glass of champagne and shop vendor booths from local retailers and health educators. Learn about women's heart health information and get inspired in 2023. For sponsor information and tickets, go online to ShastaRegional.com. February 10th, Go Ready at the Holiday Inn. Doors open at 11 a.m.
On the air, back on the air, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. It's 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm getting my radio voice down. Come on.
Yeah, that's radio voice.
Yeah, and now the top 40.
You got your radio face down already.
Okay.
All right. Chuck went up for Chris.
I see where we're going here.
Ding, ding, ding. Go,
I'm
Chris.
Up. I'm
go.
Up for the challenge.
Go, Chris. Go.
We have somebody in the studio who shall remain unnamed at this point.
Perfect.
That would be Chris Kellstrom, District 5 supervisor.
Yeah, I'm sure that was an accident.
It was a Freudian slip.
We almost overbooked a plane, but we had one seat left.
Hey, well, as long as we land the plane.
We're going to land the plane. Somebody said
give me
that.
A minute. Yeah.
And make sure, for the record, there's no cross-pollination going on here. Right?
Ooh, I was going to say, isn't that the pilot seat?
Where?
Okay, so let's go back. Where were we? Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Shananana.
Na, 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 na.
I like that song.
Yeah, that was a good song. There's some more coming up. Yeah, you know how I do.
So we're talking about Dominion right now, and Mr. Kellstrom's here. Oh, sorry, I said his name. Darn it. Anyways, I'd like to hear what he...
Well,
does he have a comment on it?
I can't see his face because of the way the lighting is. So it's kind of like one of those FBI interviews.
He's got the interview going. Bam.
We need to discuss.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Like the Unabomber now. But and all we got to do is he's got to disguise his voice.
Distort the voice.
Yeah, the voice gives him away. I was just wondering if he had a comment. I'll comment on the Dominion thing since he happened to vote for something.
So the narrative out there right now, and I just I actually tried to go to lunch on Friday and ended up having to talk to a great, great gal. But anyways, the narrative out there right now is that we cost the county $1 million to $1.5 million, $2 million, because we're going to have to sign a new contract and send all of our employees to get trained and da-da-da. Well, as we've looked into this, and the more we look into this, and I mean, we're going to continue to look into it, make sure that we are correct here. But the way the law reads, or the way it reads in California, says if you have an electronic voting machine in the state of California, then you have to use one of the three approved systems. If
so, that's not
it. Doesn't mean you have to.
Well,
have one.
I think the verbiage is you shall have an electronic voting machine. If it doesn't say you shall,
correct,
then that means you may, which means that you don't have to.
Correct. So, and if that holds true, which we think it will, if that holds true, then that means that when we get rid of Dominion, and by the way, and I made this clear on the board floor, but again, mm-hmm. you know, nothing ever is. You know, the narrative in the media and everybody else twists and contorts everything around. So it's very clear in the verbiage that we can end this contract immediately. And as soon as we end the contract, we just stop paying immediately. We don't pay out the contract. We don't have to pay the next two or 3 years of the contract. There's no more charges. As soon as it's ending, we're done. We don't pay anything else. And I had Ruben Cruz go ahead and verify the parts that I read to make sure that this is, you know, I want it on record. We are ending this contract, but we're not paying out the contract. As soon as we end it, it's done. We pay no more money. So, you know, that part is perfectly clear.
So why would it cost us more money? Because if we end it, and we go to whatever else there is. I'm thinking counting is the way to go, you know, like we used to do when we had, you know, real elections that mattered.
So if we were to go to another electronic voting system, then we would have to pay the contract for them. We'd have to pay for the training of all the employees.
But what if we don't have to go?
Exactly.
Well, they're not going past that thought process, though. They're thinking, oh, we're just going to go to another machine.
Why are these guys in love with these machines? I can't see where they've been anything but a frickin' problem.
You know, and that's
because it's in their favor.
And that's kind of my question, too. I mean, I never knew there was that many people that were in favor of Dominion voting machines until we said, hey, we don't really like these things. Oh, my gosh, they're the greatest things ever. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, what do we do, take a poll of five guys down to the election office?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay.
Kathy says they're fine.
Well, yeah, I believe Kathy.
I'm just saying.
It's funny how we got four Democrats elected in those key positions in this county. In a 65% conservative county.
Well, they're rhinos. Kathy Allen's the only Democrat in office. The rest of them are rhinos.
I think it,
are you sure? Because yes. I think even they admitted some of them they were Democrats. And if they're not Democrats, when you're being funded by Sierra Forward, who, if you look at the board of directors, is complete Democratic operatives, how do you reconcile that in the world of common sense?
Yeah.
I think it makes it so they don't have to work as hard either.
So, like I was saying before,
just saying.
Well, that might be true. Although it seemed, if you hear them talk, they were working so hard that it was ridiculous, and it was all the pressure putting on them by their constituents and the public that were causing all the problems. Just especially this guy that's sitting across the chairs from us, this guy over here, Stones. I don't know. I mean, he's a bad seed. Well, cut his mic.
Back in June, when we were waiting for the results of our, you know, 100,000 votes cast here in Shasta County in the primaries on the electronic voting machines, by the way, which make everything so much faster, supposedly. Back in France, most of Europe has now gone back to paper ballots.
Yes.
The vast majority of them have gone back to paper ballots. So France had an election in June also, and they counted 9 million votes and had them tallied up and the next morning, had the result the next morning. So we're still waiting for, you know, less than 100,000 votes to be tallied up on our electronic voting machines in Shasta County, you know, 3 weeks later, and France, 9 million votes next morning, they have the result. So it's going to be hard-pressed to convince me that these things make life so much faster.
Yeah, I'm not to interrupt, but I was just trying to get the count on the Florida votes.
I just put in population.
So they had their mm-hmm. votes all counted by like 8 p.m. that night.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when did we get our votes counted by?
Well, you can ask Kevin Cry. I think it took a month. He was up and then down and then down and up and up and down and down and, you know.
Yeah, the registrar in California has, I believe, it's 29 or 30 days after the election to certify. So, anyways, so I was telling you before the break, I'm meeting with a group. We had our fourth meeting yesterday. I won't say who's in the group, but there's almost 10 of us now. And to include two lawyers, now they're not elections experts, but they are lawyers. So we do have a little bit of legal assistance as far as some process and all that. And this is one of the things we're doing, is we're doing deep, deep research. There's many states, and right now the research is looking into, there's supposed to be some counties in this state that are doing hand counting. So we're gonna find them, we're gonna find their processes, we're gonna find, how they do it, the cost, the logistics,
You know, it depends on how many voters are in their county. It's very likely these are going to be some of the smaller counties that are hand counting. But anyway, so we're doing deep, deep research. There's a 250-page document out of Missouri right now that we're also researching, and it has extremely, very simply written explanations to include anecdotes and analogies on how hand counting actually is simpler, more reliable, saves money, et cetera, et cetera. I'm 50 pages into it, and there's other people in this group are also reading that same document.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Palm, just to give you the stats, I've got the Palm Beach Post in front of me, and this is dated October 9th, 2020. But I think the same applies as far as the numbers go. We got 11 million Florida votes, or voters, 14.4 million registered voters, and so that ought to tell you that the breakdown follows. So 4.3 million Floridians cast their votes. So anyway, you get the point is that you got 17 million and they're doing it by hand now and they got it done by 8 o'clock. And how many people are voting in Shasta County? 120,000?
About 115,000 was the last count of registered voters. So that's registered. That's not how many voted. It's 115,000 registered. I don't know how many voted. Do you know, Chris?
I think it was around 87,000 if I remember correctly.
70?
No, 87.
87.
Or 87. Or yeah, that sounds about right. So I have this document. I'm going to forward it to all of you sometime today. It's called the title is Return to Hand Counting, Missouri Elections, an e-manual by Linda Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, Linda Rantz. So you could probably, don't use Google, by the way. use some other search engines. This will probably come right up. It is a beautiful document, and we will be using this likely as a template for our proposal to our County Board of Supervisors to take full control of our countywide elections, at a minimum, countywide elections.
Cool.
So this is a beautiful thing that's happening, and it's just great that we have some true conservatives on the board now that will actually look at this so liberals, right, they act on emotion. They do not act on logic. They act on emotion.
I think they act like bees in a hive.
They do. Like mob mentality, absolutely.
Hive mentality.
Absolutely.
Hive mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a beautiful proposal, and I'm hoping, again, county council is going to be, you know, Ruben, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
You love saying that, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he goes to sleep at night, I want him to see Richards jumping over his bed, not sheep. So it's going to be a beautiful proposal, and we hope to have a decent county council's office in after May that will actually fight and defend not only for the county but also for the citizens' rights.
You know, one of a couple of things that I took away from the meeting the other day, where you guys actually did vote to get rid of the Dominion machines was Kathy Allen Darling or Kathy Darling Allen?
There's nothing darling about her. Her name is Kathy Allen.
Okay, Kathy Allen, and she's not a darling, I guess. I guess that's her maiden name or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm the last one to throw stones at anybody. Just saying.
Get them.
And so, so what I took away was, boy, she was very upset, yes, about losing the machines. And do you know why, Chris?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. I can't speak for her.
You're not even going to speculate?
I'm not even going to speculate. No, sir.
The reason is, then people can actually see what went on with the machines and how, in my opinion, the process was being done. That she says, like, it wasn't connected to the internet. It wasn't this. Okay. We didn't have a problem here. We didn't have a problem there. The voter rolls are good.
Let me ask you this. Did we ever examine the machines? Has anybody examined the machines other than, say, Kathy Darling Allen?
No, I don't think she has either. No.
No, they haven't, and they say they claim that it'll void the warranty if you tamper with them or if you look inside.
So in other words, we have a machine that nobody knows how it works. Nobody can look at it. Nobody can examine it.
Software proprietary.
Software proprietary. Yep. Can it be programmed? Yes. Can you use a flash drive on it? Yes. Could it have a wireless modem in it? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But we none of the answers to those questions have been brought up by anybody that actually has examined or looked.
And the day after the June primary, there was two information technology employees at 7:15. They don't work at 7:15, folks. They were specially requested at the registrar's office, and they went in.
So,
and to this day, we have no official answer as to why they were there.
There was wires that went from machines into a server, too.
My point I tried to make at the meeting, too, is, you know, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I won my election. I mean, I out-earned, I outspent, I outworked.
So did Rickards.
Well, so yeah, I know. Yeah. my race was a little harder than hers, but
just a bit.
Anyways, but if there was a single person that came forward and said, "I don't think you won. I think there was cheating going on," I'd be the first one to go. I'm gonna protect my integrity here. Let's do whatever we have to do. I'll go door to door with you. I'll canvass. I'll do whatever. Let's go examine the ballots. I'll do whatever we can.
You know, I really appreciated what Kevin Cry said because it really nailed it. There is such thing is right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get elected fairly, honestly, and like you just said, you had wanted, you know, you'd go through the process to make sure that you did, because there is something called right and wrong, and we seem to have lost that concept. It's not just about who gets elected and who wins. It's about, was it done fairly, legally, lawfully, and correctly?
Yeah, see, that's the part they always skip over. They think we're attacking the elections office and stuff, and we're not doing that. We're attacking the process. We're attacking the machines. We're attacking that piece of the voting system to question to what the hell is going on.
I do question Kathy, and here's why.
I'm attacking her, by the
way. Well, I mean, to start with, that's not where we started with all of this.
I was ambivalent on Kathy Allen's possible complicity in election cover-up and non-transparency. I was ambivalent to a point. But as soon as my records acts, when I said, I want the video of the camera showing an outside public area, and she said, no, you can't have it until we redact it. I said, I want the list of the people who have access to the registrar's office.
What was the
who has access.
What was the reason for the redactment, did she say?
They wanted to protect people's privacy, but it's a public alley and a public square. There's no expectation. So as soon as I started getting refused information, that's when I was done with Kathy Allen. I'm like, nope, she is now complicit in trying to cover it up.
Those are only two
of my records acts that I have not gotten back fully or refused in total. Kathy Allen's office.
So we got about 3 minutes, and I just want to go over my list of problems with the elections as I see them, and the fact that every one of these things, and maybe somebody can add to the list, that's why I'm bringing it up, every one of these things encourages cheating as opposed to discourages cheating. Ballot harvesting, ballot boxes, 2,000 mules, go watch it if you haven't seen it, because it's a problem. Absentee ballots for people that don't need absentee ballots. You know, obviously we want people who are in the service or out and can't vote in person, you know, sure. But not as a policy that everybody votes absentee. Machines, the Dominion machines, are they a problem? Can anybody examine them? How about voter ID? How about going back to a one-day vote where we have a vote, we figure out what it is, everybody shows up, and that evening we have an election certified. How about machines connecting to the Internet? And transparency from the election office is what I just added.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I've got, how about cleaning the voter rolls?
Oh, good. Yep.
How about the one that really gets me is turning in the ballot. Okay, so let's say we're doing it all by mail. Why do I have to take that ballot and turn it in and get a new ballot? But I can mail that ballot in, and it's good to go in the machine.
It's worse than that, Linda, because if you get the ballot mailed to you like I did, and you, like everybody did.
Right.
If you take it to the registrar's office, then you run that ballot right through their machines. But if you take it to a precinct, then you have to surrender the ballot
to
a different ballot.
Yep.
And it makes no sense. And somebody please explain that to me, because I still don't understand. Now, I understand that, okay, if you're going to insist on running it through the machine, then you have to get a different ballot, but that should bode true well, for every
okay,
location.
So let's take a look at Florida with the case that's going on right now, with the fact that they had two different size ballots that were produced by the elections office, and she ran her own thing, you know, her own election, just like Kathy Dowd.
Kathy Allen did the same thing.
Yep, they didn't recuse themselves. Yep. And they found that a bunch of these ballots were short and would not register
tabulate,
as who
right.
they tabulate to, the vote.
Right. And with that, I we're at a heartbreak. Guys, we'll pick this up on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Former President Donald Trump has kicked off his 2024 White House bid with stops yesterday in New Hampshire and South Carolina. The appearances in the early voting states mark the first campaign events since Mr. Trump announced his latest run. More than 2 months ago, he told GOP party leaders in New Hampshire, quote, "We're starting right here." The opening events come at a crucial point as rivals prepare their own expected challenges. The U.S. Population Center is on track to move to the South in the next 10 years for the first time in history.
Last year, the South outgrew other U.S. regions by well over a million people through births outpacing deaths and domestic international migration, according to population estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. The Northeast and Midwest lost residents, and the West grew by an anemic 153,000 people, primarily because of a large number of residents left for a different U.S. region. The West would have lost population if not for immigrants and births outpacing deaths. In contrast, the South grew by 1.3 million new residents, and six of the 10 U.S. states with the biggest growth last year were in the South. Bernie Bennett reporting.
A Nebraska congressman pushing for more flexible funding for school choice programs. Correspondent Bob Agnew reports.
Congressman Mike Flood told his colleagues this week that it's great students have options.
Public, private, homeschools.
But he says not all students have the financial means to opt out of the public school system for a better education. That's why he says,
I believe we should fund the students, not the systems.
Flood says when the money follows the students, families win in their fight to get their children the best education possible. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
Amazon is cutting free grocery delivery for Prime members on orders of less than $150. The customer service outfit says that their grocery delivery from Amazon Fresh will have to be at least $150 to be free. Otherwise, you get charged up to $10. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Fleet Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
Goldman Sachs' attempt to build its business beyond corporations and the wealthy is fizzling.
In recent months, the storied investment bank has scrapped plans for a checking account broadly available to the public, and has mothballed its personal loan business. Last week, the bank disclosed that it had accumulated $3 billion in losses in its consumer banking franchise since 2020. Most of that money had been set aside to cover potential loan losses in its Marcus personal loan business.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Federal prosecutors tried to prohibit FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried from privately contacting current and former employees of the bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange to prevent potential witness tampering in the criminal case against him. The request was made in a letter by U.S. Justice Department lawyers. Bankman-Fried's spokesman says they're demonizing it. News and analysis at townhall.com.
A retired Army general is the new president of the Czech Republic.
61-year-old Petra Pavel decisively defeated populist billionaire Andrej Babiš in a runoff vote Saturday to succeed Miloš Zeman in the largely ceremonial but prestigious post. His election is expected to cement the country's Western orientation following Zeman's decade in office. Pavel, who ran as an independent, is a former chairman of NATO's military committee, the alliance's highest military body. He fully endorses the Czech Republic's military and humanitarian support for Ukraine and stresses the importance of the country's membership in the European Union and NATO. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
Today is Sunday, January the 29th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actress Catherine Ross. She's 83 years old today. Olympic gold medal diver Greg Louganis has 63 candles on his cake. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan is 53. More on these stories at townhall.com.
That's a little Marshall Tucker, if anybody wants to know. I think Jimmy did want to know. Just saying. All right, we're back. You know, there's so much stuff going on in the news. Let's stick to what we're talking about with the Dominion for a little while here. And then we'll talk about COVID because there's a bunch of stuff that happened this last week, you know, meltdowns and all kinds of stuff. If you haven't seen that Project Veritas a video of the meltdown of one of the directors of research at Pfizer. You've got to watch it. This guy is... I've seen kids throw fits.
Yeah, he makes a new meaning to conniption fit, you know?
Man.
Also, that same drop, too. They had a drop that was a Pfizer executive discussing mutating the...
That's the one we're talking about.
That's the one I'm talking about. We're going to go there. All right, so let's go back to Dominion. I saw something the other day about Dominion, you know, kind of having a satanic connotation, you know, the word Dominion. I don't know. I guess there's something there, but it's just kind of interestingly coincidental that that's the name of the voting machines. But I digress. So where are we at now? So the machines are gone for sure.
We have to wait until the March election because we are in the middle of an election because our Register of Voters office made a little bit of a mistake and did not put a city council race on the last ballot, so we had to have a special election.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? I don't know. Everybody always seems to be so worried about, you know, wasting money and taxpayer money, except when it's, you know, oh, whoopsie. Well, it's only going to cost us $80,000, $90,000. Not a big deal. Nothing to see here, folks. You know,
right, and she wanted the city of Shasta Lake to split it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
After my mistake.
So anyway, so we have to wait until that. Once the March election is over, and you know we get the results, which I don't know, August I suppose somewhere. Whatever.
It'll almost be in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's only like 5,000 votes. Come on, Chris.
Okay, then July.
Something like that.
Anyways, so yeah, but once we get those results and that election's done, then Dominion's out of here and we're done with it. So
sometime between now and a cold day in hell.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, it should probably be by April, I would assume. But then it's done, and then we stop paying immediately. The contract ends. We don't pay another dime, and they're out of here. We're done with them.
Well, that election results ought to be really quick because, you know, there's no place to vote except at the elections office or mail-in ballot.
Right, yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how quick we get them counted.
Yeah, and it's like 5,000 or 6,000 of if I remember correctly. Oh, well, that's
we could probably do that in about an hour with a couple of people.
You would think. So, yeah. And especially this one race. So, I mean, it's, you know, yes, no, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, one, two candidates here.
Yeah, I think there's two candidates.
Yeah, you don't have to separate out the governor and the president and the senator and the, you know, all that. So,
yeah.
Should be rather quickly, and then we'll done with Dominion, and then, you know, from there where we go, you know, we'll have to wait until then to see. But as of right now, the way we're reading it, it's, again, if you choose an electronic voting machine, then you have to use one of these three that's certified by the state of California.
And we all trust the state of California implicitly at this point. You trust everybody in Sacramento to do the right thing for everyone, right?
Yeah.
And the key here is, I mentioned this earlier about, you know, federal election laws, right? They're all unconstitutional. Nonetheless, right, they have to be part of the scenario when we get these proposals. So, and the key to California law is its electronic tabulation is not required.
Right. Okay,
that's different than the having a machine is required. Those are two separate issues.
Right.
Electronic tabulation is not mandated right now. Now, it may change. Again, I already mentioned that. The state retaliates against us all the time. But for now, it's electronic tabulation. Now, if we can get rid of the machines in total, that would be excellent. But we've got federal and state laws.
Well,
and
that could mean we're using
ADA,
a calculator. We could be using
we have the Americans with Disabilities Act for the disability.
We
those
use a
folks.
10 key, you know.
Yeah. And with that, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy. Jimmy, are you there?
Yep, there you are.
Okay.
You're on the air.
What you got?
So next time somebody tells you how safe and they feel about mail-in ballots, you might want to direct them to what happened in 1864 during the presidential election between Lincoln and
Douglas?
I think it was McClellan.
Oh, McClellan, huh? Oh, interesting. It must have been a primary if it was McClellan, though.
If you look it up, what happened was, there was a group of Democratic conspirators that were busted forging signatures on mail-in ballots in favor of McClellan.
Wow.
So, because we had the Civil War going on, so all the troops were mailing their ballots in, and it was a giant just fiasco. So next time somebody says mail-in ballots are safe, I would suggest everybody out there tell them to look at the 1864 election.
Hey, go. If you're going to do that, all you got to do is go watch Gangs in New York.
Yeah, Tammany Hall, right?
Exactly.
So, and I believe at that time, a bunch of media people were arrested and charged with sedition, but I don't think they did any time because there was, I don't know, just look it up, people. The 1864 election. Mail-in ballot.
I wonder if charging media people for election interfering is still on the books. Just wondering.
Well, it's kind of like history repeats itself, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yep. All right, folks. Good show. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, Jimmy.
Not that I have anybody in mind locally that might.
Well, how many ballots could have there have been back in 1864?
Well, how many people were in the country?
You know what I mean? And there was a problem then.
Some of them are still voting.
Oh, well, good point.
Democratic.
Out of Shasta County.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Boy. I think the worm is turning. I think this is going to be the catalyst for a nationwide revolt, if you will, on the voting machines, because I think that there's so much evidence of cheating across the board from not just the machines, but a ton of different ways. I think, you know, when you go through the list that I just read off, it's not like one way to cheat. Oh, they're just cheating one way. I think there's a bunch of cheating going on, a bunch of different ways, and we need to eliminate that. I'm thinking, let's go to, like, even in Afghanistan, they had more common sense than we do. They stuck their thumb in the ink and put their thumbprint on the frickin' ballots. I mean, how hard is that to check?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. I heard somebody talking about, you know, the drop boxes. Well, why don't we have clear drop boxes? And then you can see if somebody's dropping in a stack of ballots, well, that might be a problem.
Well,
Why don't we have cameras?
Well, cameras in locations that, and that's really easy too, because, I mean, look what they did, with the 2,000 mules. They got them on camera stuffing the ballot boxes.
And personally, we had elections for a long time without drop boxes, so I'm not sure how necessary those are now.
I don't think they are at all.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm still young enough to remember just this last election when there was somebody that set up a trail camera to capture if anybody was doing just that, and there was a complete media freak out.
Well, okay. So, never mind. So, but when did the drop boxes actually start becoming
part of the process?
Part of the process. Wasn't it like during the COVID era?
No, it was before that, but here's what's key on the current Dropbox law. The current law, and again, it'll change. We will be retaliated against. Right now, the Dropboxes are require one Dropbox per 30,000 registered voters. Here's the key. It doesn't say where they have to be located. It doesn't mandate their actual location. It mandates one must be available 24 hours a day, and then the rest of them can be, you know, like a
partial. Can they all be in the same place?
Yeah, you're picking up what I'm putting down, right? They're not the locations are not mandated, so that's going to be part of our proposal.
Well, and it would be pretty easy to put it someplace with 24-hour surveillance.
Absolutely. Out, you know? Well, that's if Kathy Allen will let me see the video.
Well, even not. I mean, there's a new sheriff in town, so to speak. We should be able to have the Board of Supervisors make some kind of decision, I would think,
absolutely.
In that area.
They may absolutely pass a county policy regarding video monitoring of election areas and sites. They absolutely have that authority.
Okay, I have a question, and it may be not.
Uh-oh.
Is that me?
Somebody's going.
That's you.
Somebody's
going.
That's
true. No. Okay, so let's say we've gotten rid of the machines, and we're not going to do the machines, let's say.
Hopefully.
Okay. And we come up with, say we're going to do the hand counting, right? But Kathy Darling won't do that. What happens then?
I don't know. We're going to wait until March when we get rid of the machines and then address.
Go from there.
Yeah, go from there. So we have time, and once we get through this March election, we have plenty of time before the next election happens. So,
well, I don't think she's even going to be there. She's going to retire anyway, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so too. But if she refuses, I'm just talking for myself. Is that grounds to get rid of her? I mean, is she that bold to say, I will not do what...
Well, she has to follow local, state, and federal election laws, okay? That's her legal mandate. Well, now, whether we agree with the laws or not, she has a legal mandate to follow local, state, and federal laws, and local meaning an ordinance.
I think she's going to retire.
She's gone. I have no doubt she'll be leaving, but the point is, and that's always her reasoning when we question her on election issues that encourage fraud. Her answer is always, I have to follow the law. But the key is, if there's a local ordinance in place for hand counting certain elections, let's say countywide only, she has to follow the local
law. Well,
which law?
The one that she gets to pick and choose? That's the problem. So let's say that she's gone, okay? Who's going to be? Do we have a special election? How do we get another person in there in her position? Or is she going to appoint another person in that position? No.
I guess it depends on when she leaves, right?
The county board has that.
The board would appoint, or you'd have a special election, one or the other. And obviously that would be depending on how close we are to the next election, you know, if we'd have time to do a special election. I mean, there's a lot of
factors.
But
the board would appoint somebody in the interim, I would think.
Most likely, yes.
She wouldn't be able to name her successor is what I'm kind of going after.
No, she absolutely may not. The county board of supervisors, they would appoint an acting registrar of voters, just like we have an acting CAO right now. The county board would appoint an acting ROV until a formal appointment or a special election. That's what would happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just ask for a friend.
Kathy has no say in the matter.
Well. Okay, so we've whipped this horse kind of to death. Have you guys got anything to add, Chris? Or
you know, the only thing I'll add is, and this is actually Patrick Jones's analogy, which I thought was really good, so I'll go ahead and use it. But you know, some people would question, well, why didn't you have another machine set up? Why didn't you go and before you get rid of this one, have something else in line to set the thing up? And you know, I thought his analogy was perfect. He said, well, it's kind of like an abusive relationship. You know, if you're in an abusive relationship, you don't wait to get out of it. By, you know, by finding another relationship to go to, you get out of that relationship and then worry about the future down the road. So I thought that was a pretty good analogy, and that's kind of what we're doing. We feel Dominion is bad. We're getting out of Dominion, and then from that point after this election, we'll have a direction to go from there.
Well, the other thing I think about that is that you know, they cited that you know, you guys got elected, so that must mean it's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't think that holds water in the grand scheme.
In fact, the lady that pointed that out, she said, well, you know, you got elected by Dominion voting machines. And I pointed out to her quite frankly, no, I got elected by the people of Shasta County. That's who I got elected by. The Dominion voting machines happen to count them, but I got elected by the people of Shasta County. And if there's any doubt about that, by all means, I will lead the charge and we'll look into it with me leading the charge, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I won my election fair and square. You know, and the Dominion voting machines, did they tally the numbers up? Sure they did. And if you think there's a question there, well, then I'll lead the charge. Let's go look into it.
See, I think that's what causes the most suspicion here. You know, when I have my kid, you know, and I look at them, they got chocolate smeared all over their face, and I say, did you get the candy bars? And they go, no, no. Well, let's go look and see if you've got any wrappers stashed under your bed.
Right.
And no, don't go look at those. You know, there's no wrappers under.
It wasn't me.
See, that's what it feels like. Like when we're dealing with those guys, they don't want you to examine the machines. They don't want you to do an account. Yeah. You know, I was going to do a recount, and they were going to charge me $11,000 a day to do the recount. You know, and so every time there are questions about anything on the machines, the validity, the vote, any of it, all we get is stonewalled, you know, whether it's the cameras, whether it's looking at the footage, all of it. Mm-hmm. Well, at some point in time, you start getting suspicious, especially when you see all these other headlines across the country in different places. You know, the Dominion in Arizona counting, they had 19.5-inch ballots as opposed to the 20-inch ballots. You go to DeKalb County, Georgia. And if there's even just a few instances of it, it still makes you pause and go, are these things reliable?
And we've seen the difference with hand counting with Gary Cadd in the city of Reading.
City of Reading, yeah.
For council. It was like, what, seven votes, nine votes difference? Nine?
One of the things I pointed out in the board meeting was, you know, I said, well, we can't look into the 2020 election because you destroyed all the evidence.
Right.
You
know, yes.
And even though you were asked to hold on to it for a little bit, I said, so let's go to the 2022 primaries and take a look at that. There were some questions there, you know.
Right.
Let's take a look. Oh, and she told me that would be illegal to look at that.
See, that's a good point. That's exactly what we're talking
illegal?
About.
It'd be illegal.
How's that illegal for anybody to examine these records?
So it's not. It's not illegal. The audit is illegal. A contest is not. It is in the election code. We absolutely may break the seals on the ballot storage boxes. We absolutely may do that. And I believe it's election code 17303 out of memory, but that is an exception in that law. You may break the seals if you have a contest.
I wonder who that applies to. Is that the voter, you know, is that Kathy Allen Darling break the seal?
We're looking into that right now.
Can anybody break
the seal? We're looking into that is who can initiate the contest.
One of the things I thought was strange in the 2022 primary was, and I guess it's election law because, you know, they theorize that if you're the first on the ballot listed, you get more votes just automatically. So if you look back at those countywide races, register of voters and superintendent of schools and district attorney and sheriff, half the ballots had, say, for instance, district attorney, half the ballots had Eric Jensen first and then Stephanie Bridget second. And then half the ballots had Stephanie Bridget first and Eric Jensen second. And, you know, my question at that time was, well, how in the heck does the machine – oh, don't worry, the machine knows. Okay, don't worry, the machine knows. Yeah. I am worried. So
but you can't check it. We won't let you examine
it. Right.
We won't count the ballots.
Yes. So a dark spot on this line here on this ballot is a spot for Eric Jensen, but a dark spot on the same exact line on a different ballot is a vote for Stephanie Bridget, but trust us, the machine knows.
And one more thing to that, and then we'll go to our caller. Stay with us, Andrew. To add one more thing to that, we now know for a fact, and I'm
not going to get too conspiratorial here, but we know that George Soros was funding. Now, could they have funded it through Sierra Forward? I don't know. But was funding DAs to get elected. And this is facts. This is provable facts. Mm-hmm. So at what point in time do you go, gee, are we a part of that group or not? I mean, they're getting funded by a bunch of Republicans and one Democrat, supposedly. I don't know what the numbers are. I've heard that the sheriff has come out and said he's a Democrat. I don't know. But has funding the campaign of those four positions in this county, and you have to ask yourself why, if most of them are conservative, would they be funding it? And I would like to know where that funding was coming from.
Yeah. So it's if I could real quick, Elections Code 17301. That's where it reads, and in the exception. If a contest is not commenced within 22 months, and then the rest of that, it talks about you're able to unseal the ballot. So that's where that comes from.
Okay.
And one quick, I know we had Andrew, another analogy, which was really good at the board meeting the other day, about cheating. A card shark doesn't cheat every hand.
Yeah, I thought
that only cheats when he needs to cheat. So that's really key with these electronic machines.
Right. And with that, we'll go to our caller, Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. I penned a letter to Mary Rickard. It's just a short, short, sweet, and I just want to read it if you don't mind.
Okay,
To Mary Rickard, I'm displeased with your votes maintained at Dominion voting machines. Fortunately, true patriots pick up the torch and foil your communist leanings. With that said, you cannot count on me to cast a ballot in your favor. Sincerely, A.G. Sweet, so on and so forth. I don't know if she ever reads these things.
I don't know. I think you probably lost her at the communist thing.
She's like, thank you for the compliment.
Oh, God, that's good. No, I'm so proud of we're the tip of the spear. I heard about her, not even locally. I heard it first on a show out of the Midwest, a podcast that we did this. And then kudos. Yep. Kudos. I'm proud. I hope we can, like Mark said, or others make this go nationwide, if not statewide.
Ironically, Andrew, I think it is nationwide. I got a text from somebody in Florida that was like congratulating me. We got quite a few emails and voicemails from liberal groups. We had a liberal guy down in Palm Springs that said, normally I wouldn't agree with you guys, but this is the right thing to do. We got one from the Bay Area, a very liberal group that said, right on.
Dave out of San Francisco? I don't think so.
I think you quit calling because I got.
No, he was on this morning on another show.
Yeah, well, I know, but he doesn't call me anymore because I just got put. I got kind of fed up with his crap and let him know, and I guess that was a problem.
Yeah,
he's probably listening now. Who knows?
Expecting to call about 30 seconds.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Very good.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, Andrew.
Okay, so I guess we're going to shift gears here and start talking about, the meltdown from Project Veritas video. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, my favorite part on that was the meme that had the picture of that guy, and it said fired, but it was spelled with a P.
It's Pfizer. Yeah, he was Pfizered.
Right. Boy, talk about a total meltdown. I mean, that guy just... Wow.
Well,
wow.
It's funny because then Facebook took it off immediately, said they were violating community standards.
Yeah, of course.
And it's all over Twitter and other places because they're not going to stop it. And it's kind of like what we're talking about with Dominion machines. It's an idea whose time has come. I don't remember who said it. I think it was Victor Hugo. Is you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at with a lot of this stuff is that these ideas and the time has come. And Pfizer, is absolutely, a criminal organization at this point. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And they keep pushing this narrative of getting the vaccines. Well, the whole thing with Pfizer and this, sting operation, if you will, with, Project Veritas and James O'Keefe this week is that this guy thought he was on a date with an undercover agent.
That should tell you something right there. Even if he made it all up, what kind of person is he to say what he said.
Everybody.
I'm just saying. You know what I mean? What kind of individual
well, he
is
said,
that?
He said all men lie on dates. Well, first of all, I'm not sure men really.
Well,
man really puts this guy in that category because, you know, he.
Yeah.
Let's just say he was a little light in the loafers. All right.
Beta. They're not beta males. They're zeta males.
What's a zeta?
It's the bottom of the heap. They're zeta males. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, because if you look at it, Project Veritas, nobody's safe anymore. Like, he has these beautiful women and
some
men that are constantly at his beck and
call. I think the guy deserves a Pulitzer.
I mean, it's quite amazing. Quite. But honestly, also, think about the fact that one group with just a little bit of undercover journalism has broken how many stories?
Yep. Well, you know, and there's a theme there too. So if you get a proposition to go on a date by somebody you don't know and they start asking you a lot of questions about what you do, that might be the first clue.
Well, the first clue would be if it's the same sex that's asking you on the
date.
Well,
it could be either way.
I just say it.
It could be either way. If you're heterosexual and it's a hot girl, you might want to be careful.
Yeah. No, not from a girl's standpoint.
I think women in history, I think women have helped bring down countries.
That's what I'm saying.
So let's pay attention.
Well, you know, if
Patrick comes to mind.
And if their name's like Fang Fang or Connie Chung or something, you might want to pay extra special attention. But I was curious to see the guy. I wanted to see the undercover guy, see what he's looked like, because this guy was definitely batting his eyelashes at him. And it's like, hey, if I got to get, so I'm either that way. And you know what I'm saying?
I'm impressed.
Or I'm not. And if I'm not, that means I have to act that way to get the guy's confidence. And that guy was like swooning, basically. And he was spilling his guts while he was, I was going to say swooning, not spooning.
That comes later.
I guess. My point here is that as soon as the guy knew the jig was up, so to speak,
after he went through the interview, you know, so for the people that don't know out there, it didn't happen right away. Then James O'Keefe came back.
Yeah, he comes back later with the mic. So this guy absolutely flips out. He says, I was lying. then or now, you know, it's like,
he goes on like for 10 minutes on this thing.
Oh, he calls the cops on him.
Chris Hansen moment.
And you know what gets me? At the end, he stands in front of that vehicle because he thinks it's with the TV crew and going to stop him from leaving. Okay. I'm just saying, if it was me and you were coming at my vehicle, I would think that you're trying to do me some harm.
Now, the important part about this whole thing is he's basically saying in this. Now, he's either lying to the guy he's talking to on the date or he's telling the truth, one of the two. Now, it's hard to do. But if he's telling the truth, he's saying that Pfizer is doing gain of function and they've changed the name to something else. And Robert Malone also posted something on this and basically said that what that interview told everybody is that Pfizer has lost control of the virus through the vaccine. The vaccine is mutating so fast ahead of the vaccine is mutating so fast that they can't catch up to it. The virus is mutating so fast that they can't catch up to it with the vaccine anymore. So now what they're talking about is messing with the virus itself so that they can create a whole slew of other vaccines, and this becomes a cash cow for them.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at it, too, from that same perspective, they are now once again doing genetic engineering on this thing that then may end up escaping. And when you look at the people that were actually smart during all of this and speaking about it in detail, they were stating that it was a leaky vaccine that would end up causing this very thing to happen.
And there's a problem because?
And, of course, they would get banned or silenced or censored. And you look at the Project Veritas video of this event, and it was taken down off of YouTube as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because
but back to this guy, I'm sorry. This guy was a piece of whatever way you shake the dice to me.
Well, yeah, but you know, a lot of these guys are. I mean, you look at the head of Pfizer, he's a freaking horse doctor.
All right. I guess with that, we need to go to a break, and we'll pick up this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
So...
Well, I'm riding along, singing the same old cowboy song that's been sung 100 times before. Ain't got nothing but my name, and I'm the only man I know to blame, but I'm living. Let blow, let blow. Sand over my trail. I got my saddle on the ground, and that old moon, he can still be found hiding in the day.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And, before we get to call, I got one thing I want to bring up. I was keyed by Jimmy in the chat room. And, yes, that was Carole King, and it's Marshall Tucker Band, and I'm not sure who the lead singer is. But, on the debt clock, something very strange has happened. If anybody wants to go look at it, the U.S. debt clock, it has a dollar to silver ratio. It has a dollar to gold ratio. It has gone to zero in the last 2 days, which is impossible.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Not if you're in control of it.
It's absolutely off the charts. It's like, what? So I wanted to get that out there just to let everybody know. You can go look at it for yourself, and then maybe we get some follow-up stories by next week or something on it. But it's impossible for the dollar to silver or dollar to gold ratio to be zero. So it can only be one of two things. Either the debt clock's broken, or somebody is manipulating the debt clock. We got a third?
Dominion Software is running the debt clock.
I was thinking something along that line, too, with that. And with that, we will go to our caller. Good morning, Frank.
Are you there, Frank?
Frank, you're on.
Yes.
You're on the air, Frank.
All right, Frankie, go.
Well, I just want to apologize that I didn't realize that the golden door was locked this morning, and I was sitting out there at 7:30 with my chauffeur, and it was till about 10 after 8, and I'm listening on my headset. I said, uh-oh, they just changed all the stations, do a repeat, so I went home.
Well, you should have called in.
Yeah, we were wondering where you were.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know, I'm still listening on the radio, and I said, oh, my goodness, they got two major guests. That's the voice of thunder and lightning. And it's good to hear thunder and lightning. And maybe you can do the thunder and lightning and not have a rainstorm.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, we might be able to do that. But we appreciate you calling in and letting us know that you're okay. We did miss you.
So I understand from what I was gathered, the information, that this is going to happen. The morning show is going to be changed or something for the next couple of weeks.
Don't know on...
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
On next show.
Yeah.
Don't know. So.
Stay tuned. I'm sure Carl will announce this week what's going on.
Okay. I just want you to know, I love you guys.
We love you, too.
That's right.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, all right. I'm going to play this five-minute clip, and this does a bunch of stuff. And then we can comment, and you can do it then. So are we ready to go?
Comment.
Are we ready? Here we go. Let's play this. Bunch of COVID good stuff.
Nice. We are witnessing madness. Worse, the perpetrators of this madness continue to stoke the flames. They would have us believe that we face a threat so deadly and dire that our lives can never be the same. They would have us believe that every destructive policy they've enacted has not only been necessary, but that none of these policies have gone far enough. They would have us believe to get back some of what they've taken, we must first give them more of what they want. But is any of it so? I will prove to you that it is not. Let's take a closer look at the threat they have used to seize unprecedented power, destroy economies around the world, and secure trillions of dollars in bailouts. First, we need to address the number that health officials have been throwing around since the beginning of this so-called crisis, the potential death toll of COVID-19. If the current death toll hasn't been exaggerated, we have reason to believe otherwise, and if the current death toll doubles, COVID-19 will kill approximately 1.5 million people around the world. That number sounds very big, and the media has done everything within its power to convince you that it represents a significant threat to your life. The average person on the street can be forgiven for thinking that they, or somebody they love, will drop dead at any minute. Well, let's examine this monster that they've created in the public's mind. Here it is. And without any context, it looks like a vicious pit bull on a 6-foot chain, waiting to maul anyone who gets within its reach. But is it?
No, it's not. In fact, cardiovascular disease kills more than 10 times as many people every single year. It truly dwarfs the threat of COVID-19. So, if we aim to keep this dog analogy accurate, we're going to have to change this guy into something more appropriate, like a 5-pound chihuahua. We'll let cardiovascular disease assume the role of a scary 50-pound pit bull. Surely, if the COVID-19 chihuahua is such a threat, then something that's 10 times more deadly should have killed us all by now, right? Well, no. Cardiovascular disease is certainly deadly, but it's nowhere near as deadly as all-cause mortality, which kills nearly 60 million people every year. So, it looks like we've got to turn cardiovascular disease into something less scary. A schnauzer, perhaps. And to represent the 60 million annual deaths, we'll just have to pretend that there's such a thing as a 200-pound pit bull. Surely, if this is deadly enough to shut down the world and create mass hysteria, then this guy should have justified something unimaginably worse, right? But it didn't. So how is it that we all managed to live our lives all these years despite this horrible threat? I'll tell you how. Because this is nowhere near the biggest, baddest, toughest dog on the block. It's more like a cuddly St. Bernard compared to the real beast that we haven't seen yet. This monster isn't twice as big, or 10 or 20 or 30 times as big. No, the biggest dog on the block is 125 times larger. Imagine, if you can, a 25,000-pound pit bull. This pit bull represents humanity. It represents the living, breathing strength of all the human beings that will not die, regardless of what the worst of these threats can throw at us. To really put this in perspective, let's do some simple math on the blackboard. Prior to COVID-19, when we all lived normal lives, less than 1% of us died each year, 0.007 of the Earth's population. In 2020, with COVID-19, that number hasn't changed. It's still less than 1% of us. It's still 0.007 of the Earth's population. The impact of this pandemic on total annual deaths is so small that you have to move into the fourth decimal place to measure it. Even among the most vulnerable, those above the age of 70, COVID-19 would have to kill 4.5 million, three times the projected death toll, to reduce their survival rate below 99%. Does any of this sound like what you were led to believe? If not, then consider the harsh reality that you were intentionally misled. You were intentionally misled.
And I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, their lust for power enslaves them. As such, they must enslave others. We have a choice. We can see them for who they are. We can see them as they wish to be seen. And this is an opportunity. And we need to look at this thing this way, because are we being intentionally deceived? And is Big Pharma making billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars off of this whole pandemic, if you will? Well, you can go look at that video at joeplumber.com or Joe Plumber on YouTube and watch the thing, if you will. But okay, discussion. What do we got?
All right, just to let people know that Chris Kellstrom has left the building. He did have prior engagements, so we want to say thank you for coming in and spending what time you could with us this morning.
I want to give a big shout-out to Chris, too, not only for coming yesterday, but for being one of the few candidates that has been open about the entire process and constantly coming and addressing the issues at hand and letting people know what is actually taking place. He's been very good at actually being transparent about the entire process and open and approachable, even if you disagree with him.
Right. And I want to make it clear, I have been reaching out to other Board of Supervisors, and it's not that they have refused to come on. It's just we haven't been able to coordinate schedules right now. Right. I just want to put that out there. I guess one of our next subjects we need to kind of talk about is...
I thought we were going to do a little bit more and then go straight to the gateway stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to hit this real quick. So in regards to that last video, the FAA recently loosened rules for pilots who may have heart damage. New guidelines from the Federal Aviation Administration have raised concerns over airline safety in the federal agency as the federal agency loosens restrictions on pilots who may have suffered heart damage. In October, the FAA widened the acceptable parameters used when pilots are screened for heart conditions, the agency told the Associated Press in a statement. As news of the change circulated, many speculated whether the updated guidance was due to potential injuries from COVID-19 vaccines that have frequently involved heart issues. Now, I also have one more thing that ended up coming out from Thomas Massey.
I just want to piggyback on that real quick. Did you know that they stopped in the World Economic Forum? They wouldn't allow pilots to fly their planes that were vaccinated?
So I do have a rebuttal on that. We mentioned that last week, and there does appear to be some shady information on that.
Okay.
The people that came out with that, both the company and the pilot that apparently received that, were anonymous.
Okay.
So I'll take that and put it in a
You know, that's the problem. We don't know who to believe half the time. But,
do know there's a problem.
That's the thing. What we got to do is we got to focus on the reliable information at hand that we have
Absolutely.
To be able to discern the problems
Absolutely.
And not leave any room for error. Because the fact of the matter is there is enough evidence talking about the 300,000 excess deaths this year that were not COVID-related that begs the question of what the heck happened.
I've got a study here just to cite it. A new study indicates more than 217,000 Americans were killed by COVID vaccines in 2021. And this is by Mark Skidmore, author of the peer-reviewed study. He's a professor of state and local government finance and policy at Michigan State. Concluded that from collecting data, the total number of fatalities due to the COVID-19 inoculation was estimated at between 217,000 and 278,000. So, you know, that's something that you can check out. There's a study done, but
And the last thing I want to hit on this, and I will be doing a show later on Rumble that hits a lot more on this because we're due limited to time. It'll be either available later this evening or tomorrow. It's rumble.com/fires is where you're going to find it. I'm going to start back up on those channels.
Might post it on the chat room just in case.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that was a tweet that came out from Thomas Massey recently. It was actually from yesterday's date, and it was in regards to Pfizer's response about that video from Veritas. So in a portion of Pfizer's response, they say in a limited number of cases, when a full virus does not contain any known gain-of-function mutations, such a virus may be engineered to enable the assessment of antiviral activity in cells. In addition, in vitro resistance selection experiments are undertaken in cells incubated with SARS-CoV-2 and Neurovector, however you say that, in a secure biosafety level 3 laboratory to access whether the main proteins can mutate to yield resistant strains of the virus.
And it'll never get out, kind of like Wuhan. Let's go to the next subject.
Gateway School District. There's a lot going on.
Explain it to me because I don't know anything. Tell me what's going on.
Well, we don't have enough time to go over the entirety, but, you know, I got to hit some highlights. So when the new Gateway School District Board took seat in
there was three new
December,
ones, correct?
Three new ones.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately held board elections, and the three new folks, one of them took the president's position. That's Cheryl. And I believe Lindsay took vice president of that board.
I'm not sure.
And Elias did not take any of those. Well, you know, those people were voted in by the voters, first of all. Elias and Lindsay, they're married, and they have been very active in that school board for many years. And they've also expressed concerns to the prior board for several years on many serious issues, by the way. Funny how the naysayers today are forgetting all those problems. But So this new board, they ran, hey, we're going to fix Gateway because it has a lot of things that needs to be fixed. And the voters put them in. Well, all of a sudden now the voters don't matter, you know, to these naysayers. And what's happening is these three people are they're fairly new to the intricacies of a local government entity. They are fairly new to the Brown Act. Well, these people are – these new folks are running these meetings with little to no training. Now, they've since gotten a whole 2 hours – yes, you heard me, 2 hours of Brown Act training, still wholly inadequate. And it is the district's responsibility. That would be the acting superintendent, Jim Henson. It is his responsibility to make sure that these new make sure these new board members have adequate Brown Act training. What is adequate? Well, I'm telling you, as somebody who knows the Brown Act very well, 2 hours is very inadequate. That should be at least 8 hours. So... So, you know, and then the issue here is this board fired the previous superintendent, Jim Harrell, and who was in there for 9+ years, and he had a survey, which I've sent to you folks and other people. He had a survey done on him in 2021, and it was, you know, if you look at the numbers on that survey, especially the top of the pages, that, you know, because they basically gave him grades, right? They graded him on many different questions, and the grade was A, B, C, D, F, basically, right? Needs improvement, exceed standards, et cetera. And for the majority of his questions, he got C's and D's. C's and D's, and the vast majority of the answers to that questionnaire. And this was put out. I haven't confirmed it with Gateway Union, Gateway Teachers Union yet, but that is my information, that the Gateway Teachers Union set out this survey. It was not the district itself. So different entities, right? So this man was in office for 9, 10+ years. He recently had a 12 or 18 month absence due to medical issues. He was complicit as the former superintendent in many of the problems. Because after 9 or 10 years, if you can't fix a problem, then maybe the problem is you. Maybe it's you as a failed superintendent. And when you look at the results of that survey, there's comments. Not only were the questions graded, survey participants had many, many comments. And they're all over the board, of course. But when you look at those comments pretty much reflect his grading that he got, where he got, for the most part, C's and D's. And most of those comments also reflect such. And again, after 9 or 10 years, if that's the best you can do, time to move on. Time to change.
Right. So the board is in the process of replacing him, correct?
So they do desire to replace him. And again, the new board majority who is controlling the meetings, they have, again, they're new. They don't have the experience. They don't have the proper training to do a lot of these things. And here's the key. The other two senior board members who have been there for several years and the staff, that would be Debbie Bootinger, says she's some kind of a secretary, and then the acting superintendent, Jim Henson. Those four people have been in these Brown Act meetings for many years, and they are throwing these three new board members under the bus. They are giving little to no guidance and support on these administrative issues, these administrative Brown Act issues. And this new board, they are making Brown Act mistakes. Yes, they are, for the reasons I've already mentioned. But these other four people that have been sitting there for years, they are complicit. They are absolutely complicit in these Brown Act violations because these other four people should be stopping them immediately and say, excuse me, please don't do that. That's a violation. Mm-hmm. They've done that in one or two instances, but they're not doing it across the board. And so I'm going to say now, after only giving 2 hours to this new board, the rest of them are now fully complicit in any future public meeting Brown Act violations. Now, there is an issue with how they're going to select the new superintendent, and we're almost out of time. There's a policy that this board has recently voted to suspend. This board has full autonomy to do anything with a current policy they want. They just do. That it's a policy by the board. And this policy has to do with selecting candidates and yada, yada, yada. And right now, they suspended that policy, which means they're just going to do an appointment. But there's a lot of things happening in the background, unfortunately, that a lot of people don't know. There's just people in that district. I'm told there's a lot of good people in that district. Well, I'm seeing very few of them showing up at the board meetings speaking in favor of local control, changing the paradigm, changing the failed school systems. I'm seeing very few of them showing up at the microphone. But so it's a mess right now. We're trying to get over this, you know, these issues right now with the Brown Act issues.
And we know a lot of the information can't come out right now, or, you know, exactly what all is going on, because until it gets straightened out, correct?
Yeah, and one of the allegations, and
there's a lot going on.
There's some validity to some of the allegations, but again, it gets back to this: these board members are so new. Oh, did I mention? I did not. The attorney that was retained by Gateway has now stepped away.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this moment, they don't have an official Gateway attorney to even advise him on such matters. So that just makes the problem worse. And the problem is all the naysayers who don't like this board and where they want to go, they're not alluding to these facts that this board needs more training. They don't have proper legal representation, and all it does is create problems. And these naysayers are ignoring these facts.
Right, and they're even having a hard time finding an attorney that will represent them.
They're trying to find.
Yep, they're
trying
in
to
the
find
process.
Basically a non-establishment attorney, and that's a very hard thing to do in the state of California.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's, you know, and my advice to them is, look, just get a superintendent. Get a superintendent in there that will play blocker, right, like Smokey and the Bandit. You need a blocker. Get a superintendent in there that will run blocker for them to take all this pressure off of them.
Well, I think we're out of time.
We are. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it, Rich.
Brought to you today by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent, see down in Red Bluff. And we forgot to announce that at the beginning. Remember, government is not reason, is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All gun control is racist.
Till next week.
It's been over 2 years for me, and I'm still not quite myself.
All is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.